Kaya Biz with Gugulethu Mfuphi on Kaya 959.
Today it is a Monday. That does mean that we're on Careers Corner. Every Monday evening, just after 7 o'clock, we speak to a leader within the career development space to help us understand how best we can advance ourselves and the goals that we have within our careers. Over the last few weeks, we've spoken about evolving and adapting to a digital working environment. We've also spoken about how best you can make sure that you interact adequately with your peers in a new virtual space, especially for those who have been lucky enough to find jobs. And even reflecting on the tough times that us as South Africans have, as we know that the unemployment rate remains incredibly high. Joblessness is a real concern for many South Africans and increases the amount of anxiety that job seekers also have. But if you're lucky enough to be in a place of employment and might have worked your way up the ladder, you've achieved and attained certain accolades and levels of recognition, and now you're sitting there thinking, oh boy, this success perhaps isn't mine, and people just might catch me out to be a fraudster or someone who is not worthy or deserving of being in this position because it all amounts to luck. You just might be struggling with imposter syndrome. Yep, something that many of us can relate to, even myself, where you tend to find yourself in positions where you think, maybe this just, I'm not fully qualified for this particular role or job. Well, all of it does go back to a psychological understanding and making sure that you provide yourself with the right support systems to be able to show up productively and make sure that you let go of those negative characteristics that might consume your mind and your ability to perform. Well, we want to hear from you and any of your stories. If you've have struggles showing up at work due to imposter syndrome, dial in on 086-000-959. But to help us and guide us throughout this conversation, we're joined by registered organizational psychologist and career coach, Fiona Martin. Fiona, always good to touch base with you, and thank you so much for making time.
Good evening, Gugulethu. It's always a pleasure to speak to you and your audience.
Quite excited, right? Because this conversation tonight hits very close to home. Imposter syndrome. I've tried to give a quick synopsis of what it is and what it tends to feel like, but explain it to us. What is imposter syndrome?
You know, Gugu, you're actually right in that the thing with imposter syndrome is many people experience it, but they don't have a name or a language to express it until they somehow stumble across the term and they say, oh my goodness, this relates so much. And I had the exact same experience where for years,
right,
I had, you know, the experience of it until I came across the term and I was like, wow, this is actually a documented concept. But, you know, to your question, imposter syndrome is ultimately, as you mentioned in your intro, where an individual feels that they are undeserving of what they have achieved. So it's almost like they feel that they are where they are because of luck, because of happenstance, and because maybe they were at the right place at the right time. So it is really a case where they're constantly questioning their success and if they have really earned the title and the recognition that they get from other individuals. So really it is ultimately feeling that you're not as competent or as smart as people think that you are. And the whole term around imposter syndrome is that individuals who experience that have this perpetual fear that any day now they are going to be exposed as a fraud and that other people are going to see that they're not as smart as they are perceived to be.
And you're quite right. That comes with a great sense of feeling like, oh my goodness, you know, this role might be too big for me to serve and leads to a lot of anxiety within the individuals trying to be productive. But where does it stem from? Because much of the time we tend to think, oh goodness, it's all about me and the world picking up that I'm a fraudster and that I'm not adequately qualified for this job. But is there some kind of psychological history behind imposter syndrome and what actually drives it?
Absolutely. So the root cause of individuals who experience or who are likely to experience imposter syndrome has been documented. So examples are individuals who are perfectionists. So people with perfectionist tendencies who believe that anything short of a flawless performance, you know, in anything that they do, whether big or small, is unacceptable. So as a result of them always pursuing this mistake-free life, they then end up putting a lot of pressure upon themselves and they put what we refer to as, you know, really impossibly or unnecessarily high standards, you know, which are unhealthy because I guess one might think having high standards is not necessarily a bad thing. It is a bad thing if it's something, you know, that is causing you anxiety, that is causing you pressure. And in some instances, it is not necessary for you to execute perfectly every single task. You know, no human being is perfect, so to speak. We also find that imposter syndrome is prevalent in individuals where success comes quickly, right? So it's almost like you can't believe it and it all happened so fast. From a structural perspective, individuals who are an anomaly within a particular environment, and by an anomaly is that there are not many people like them, they often feel like imposters. So it could be that racially there's not a lot of people like you within your work environment, within your profession or the field that you operate in. It could be by gender. We find it a lot documented within first-generation professionals, so individuals who are first-generation graduates, where there's not a lot of people from their communities who are in those particular spaces, in those particular professions. So it gives them a sense of not belonging, because you feel like you're an outsider, and because there are not many people who are like you within that environment. So it's almost as if you got there by luck, and you know, a sense that you don't deserve to be there. So it's very prevalent along minority groups within particular spaces, whether it is a work environment. And also for people who are high achievers, it's quite ironic, because imposter syndrome affects, and in fact, that's how it was first discovered, you know, in high achieving women. So individuals who are high achievers are more likely to experience imposter syndrome, and it actually in some cases gets worse the more success that they achieve.
Aha. That's actually quite interesting, because one would actually think the more success you attain, that's more validation, right? You're getting awards, you're getting the promotion, you're earning the income, you're getting the recognition. Surely that must mean that you're great at your job.
Yeah, absolutely. So the thing about imposter syndrome and why it is a psychological concept is that it's a form of intellectual self-doubt. So it is where your actual competence exceeds your confidence. So it is your perception, and very often it is undetected by other people. So it's how you feel about yourself, what you perceive other people expect of you. So in that regard, you put yourself under pressure to behave in a certain way, to perform in a certain way, because you feel that is what is expected of you. So in many cases, in dealing with it, and I guess we'll get into that, it's about correcting the perception, because the interesting thing with imposter syndrome is individuals who experience it often have a very, you know, unequivocal track record of having achieved, you know, whatever it is in their profession or in their industry. So it's in spite of them having objective evidence of having delivered great projects, having done really well in their careers, attained high marks, let's say if you're a student, right? But even in spite of that, there's still feelings of inadequacy.
I tell you what, Fiona, in a moment, we really do want to discuss how it is that we need to manage this, because we know that it can affect one's performance within the workplace. But we do have a call from Diana from Fosler, who wants to share her story with us. Diana, welcome to Kaya Biz.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. What's your story and your experience of imposter syndrome?
I once got a job, so the environment was male-dominated, and as a photographer, I felt so undermined at some point, because I was being asked these sort of questions. I mean, are you a qualified journalist? Are you, you know, so I become uncomfortable at that space, and honestly, I couldn't stand it.
Did you leave? Did you stay? How did it affect your performance?
I stayed because I couldn't manage to work under such environment.
And if is there anything you would have done differently now that you know that you went through imposter syndrome?
Now I think I've gained more strength, that I feel that the time that we are living, I can challenge that there is no male-dominated industry, because we all have a passion in certain areas of professions.
Yeah, no, we do. Diana, well, we hope that you're in a better space. And as you say, you learned the lesson, but of course the experience is something that we all need to learn from and build up on in our careers. Thank you so much for calling, Diana. Really appreciate your feedback here tonight. Fiona, maybe I can throw that back at you. As Diana mentioned, it got to a point where she ended up leaving the job because she just realized that she's not coping, she's not functioning. So what should we do when we find ourselves battling with imposter syndrome in the workplace?
Yes, and unfortunately, we do get those cases, you know, as mentioned earlier, where you are a minority in an environment. So in that case, you often feel that you have to work twice as hard. And you, no matter what you do, it's almost as if it's never good enough. You have to constantly prove yourself, right, and work extra hard just, I guess, to be considered as competent. Also, the element, you know, where she said, you know, having colleagues or people question, you know, her credibility, question her qualifications, or question, you know, is she actually competent for the job, can make you feel as if you're not adequate. So in that regard, that constant experience of being put under scrutiny might make you actually question, you know, things that you know, you know, so expertise that you have, you know, insights that you're able to provide. But because there's that scrutiny, you know, because you are an anomaly, so to speak, in the environment, it of course can lead to that. So in that regard, unfortunately, I guess, you know, at a structural level, organizations then have to focus on things such as your diversity, equity, and inclusion. Because, you know, in many cases, yes, companies have targets, you know, particularly where they're trying to drive diversity within particular areas. areas, you know, such as let's say male-dominated areas like STEM, etc. But in that regard, it's not only about adding women, and also if there isn't a representative number, that individual is always going to be, you know, what's referred to as an only one. So the experience of being an only one or one of a few is exceedingly difficult. That's why the numbers are important, but also the inclusion in terms of how is that individual treated while they're in that environment is also equally important.
That's a valid point, but I guess you also need a support system, right? Because when you're in the workplace, you're interacting with people, they offer you feedback. Sometimes it's kind, sometimes it's constructive, and sometimes it's downright bitter, right? If we're honest. How does one manage that? Because you almost need a sounding board to, I guess, remind you when you're on track or off track, and to reassure you sometimes of your own sense of self.
Absolutely. And I guess, you know, within those experiences where it might be unconscious bias, right? So because you're a woman in a male-dominated environment, whatever the case, you might face extra scrutiny without, you know, it doesn't excuse it, but, you know, the individual might not even realize that every time a woman speaks up, you know, she gets interrogated in terms of how did she arrive to that decision. Whereas a man, you know, for example, it might get automatically accepted expertise. So in that regard, yes, a support system is important in terms of a mentor. You also need, I think, to build up your internal validation, right? And that's something that is quite of a process. Because you're constantly being questioned, and because unfortunately in some cases you don't always have an impact, or you're not always able to change, particularly if you're a minority within that environment, right? And these structural things are much more difficult and complicated to change. So that internal validity is important, to know that in as much as you experience constantly being questioned, constantly being undermined, you then have that internal validation of knowing that you have the skills, you have the experience that is equal, or if not more, than any of the peers within that environment that don't experience, I guess, the same scrutiny that you do. I think a great way to also do is to track your achievements. So one of the things around people who experience imposter syndrome is that they really struggle to internalize their success. Mm-hmm. So even just looking at something that they have done and actually taking credibility for it and saying, I did that, you know, that was my effort, that was my experience, that was my expertise that led, you know, to that thing being a success or that task. So it's important to get comfortable taking credibility. And in fact, what I encourage people to do, especially if this is something that you struggle with, is if you can, whether it's once every 2 weeks or once a month or at whatever frequency, to start documenting your successes, right? Because once you start keeping a track record, you know, it's like in some cases, maybe when you come to the end of the year and you're busy doing your, you know, your annual reviews, let's say you've got a performance review process in a company.
Yes.
And that's the only time you step back and you say, oh, wow, look at all these things I've done. I haven't actually taken time, you know, to appreciate how far I've come. Or maybe you're updating your CV and you see, you know, the only time that you actually see that, wow, you've actually achieved a lot. So it's important as a habitual thing that every month you are reflecting on what you have done well, because then it reminds you. It reminds you that you are a person that is excelling. It allows you to actually take ownership of that success, so that those feelings that this happened by luck or because I had a great team or I had a great manager, right? You need to move away from that. And I always say to people, get comfortable in using I statements. So not, yes, my team did this or our department did this. Get comfortable in used to saying, I did this because of my skills, right? You can even say it to yourself in the mirror, but it's a way, it can be uncomfortable at first, but it's really a way for you to start taking ownership of it. And that's the only way that you can, one of the ways that you can start dealing with, you know, feeling that, you know, it's more happenstance that you are succeeding or you're just at the right place at the right time, so to speak.
Exactly. Very important element you mentioned there. And you're quite right, reflecting on your accolades as well as some of your achievements. Before we wrap up though, Fiona, there's a wonderful tweet that's been shared by one of our listeners here at Bambi K. And she actually quotes here that I've never doubted my achievements, but I know I deserve to be there as I always work hard when it comes to my career. The only syndrome I have is letting people walk over me. And she hashtags their Kaya Biz Career Advice Careers Corner. And I think that's a very valid point, right? Sometimes we might be self-assured, we might have the confidence, but then it's dealing with the personality dynamics within the workplace that actually might, I guess, add pressure and make you feel as though you are walk over. Does that tie in at all with imposter syndrome or, I guess, team management dynamics to make sure that the negative energy of some of those that you work with does not come across to negatively reflect on your capabilities?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think in that regard, it could potentially be linked, but in terms of where people feel, you know, as you had referred to as people walking all over you, it could be a structural thing within the environment where maybe you feel that saying no or creating boundaries is going to get you victimized. So, you know, they sometimes refer to it as being a yes man, right? Because you feel that, you know, putting boundaries might not get the might get a negative response, so to speak, especially if it's a manager or someone that doesn't want to have boundaries, so to speak. It could also be a personality element where you feel bad, right? So some people generally do feel bad when they say no to people, and they end up overextending themselves to the point where they even burn out because, you know, they feel bad saying no to other people. So my encouragement to her, right, so at least one, she has come to the self-awareness or the recognition that, you know, this is something that she was allowing to happen. So it's really about interrogating what was the reason. Was it more, you know, the culture of the organization? Was it the management style that she was dealing with? Is it more a personality or an emotional intelligence aspect within her? And then I think once she has good clarity around that, she can start to identify it. But one of the things around creating boundaries, right, because it's not an overnight thing, you know, where people are used to you, you know, walking all over you, and particularly I think some people might take advantage of that, is to start practicing with small no's, right? So you don't have to, you know, go move in for the kill and say no to a big thing. It's really those small things where someone says, hey, let's go for a coffee break, and maybe you're actually busy. So small little things and saying no without having to actually explain it, right? And not feeling bad about it. Because individuals who respect boundaries should not, you know, should not feel bad if you say no to them for whatever reason. So I think it's really about start finding small opportunities where you say no, and then you start building your confidence. But I think the awareness is the important part, because then you know how to address it and you know how to identify it when you are in that particular situation.
Definitely. Fiona, you've given us so many valuable nuggets that we actually have a quick call that's come through from Dr. Sibusiso Nkosi from Springs. Dr. Nkosi, thank you so much for calling in. We are limited for time, but we're quite excited to have you with us. Give it to us short and sharp. Welcome to Kaipers.
Yeah, good evening, guys. I'll try and keep it quick. But yeah, man, excellent topic, guys. Just wanted to, like, put in a point as well. I also experienced this, like, it was a severe form. I think the speaker has mentioned a few of the points I wanted to make, but it is quite important to, when you have that, when you find yourself in that situation, self-validation is number one. You have to practice that as if you're training for a marathon, you know. But also what I found important is to find allies and proper allies, right? So I went to a medical school that was mostly African, right? I tried to find people who look like me, who talk like me, who have sort of like the same background as me. And because they'd experienced this before me, there was a way in which we could only relate, you know, not everyone could. And that helped a lot. It helped a lot.
I can imagine. Well, I'm glad that you found a way to manage it, Sibusiso, and really adapt it to the environment. But like you say, you need to also have a good, strong sense of self and motivate yourself there. Well, we thank you for your time and your call this evening. That was Dr. Sibusiso Nkosi sharing his experience. And of course, Fiona Martin, who is a registered organizational psychologist and career coach, helping us understand and decipher the concept of imposter syndrome and how it can hold us back from excelling in our careers and places of work for this evening's Career Corner. Thank you so much to Fiona Martin and of course all our callers who dialed in to share their experience. It's a difficult time for everyone, but as has been mentioned, there are a few guidelines that you can abide by to make sure that you excel, recognize your own excellence, and of course draw on boundaries or certain boundaries within the workplace.
Kaya Biz with Guguletu Mfupi. Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.